be a second. I'll just get myself set up here. Over the last three messages that I shared here, I've been preaching pretty hard and really hammering away at, and I didn't know why, but then the Lord shared with me there was like a, because I've been preaching about faith and healing, but there was a blockage there. And whether it was religious thinking or traditional thinking, I don't know. But sometimes you have to push against those things. Push against those things. And I was reminded of the story about King David in 2 Samuel 5, verse 20. The Philistines had gathered to find and kill him. And so David went to the Beth Perazim. Hold on, I'll just, can you, 2 Samuel 5:20. Beth Perazim. And it means the Lord who breaks through. And see, David defeated them and he said, "The Lord has broken through my enemies before me like a breaking flood." Like floodwaters breaking or breaching a weir or a flood bank. We live down Foxton Beach right on the Manawatu River. And nearby there's huge flood banks and they're massive things. And but if you get enough water coming down and pushing against those things, they give. And they cause a big mess. And sometimes when you're up against something, you've got to push in with more prayer. More of the confession of the Word of God. More worship, more praise. Just keep pushing in, pushing in, pushing in. And like floodwaters, after a while it just breaks that whole thing open. Amazing, isn't it? Amazing what the Word of God will do. And so I've been preaching pretty hard on that subject, but today I want to wind it right back. Quieten right down. Take off my preaching hat and put on my teaching hat. At least I think so. I think so. And today's message is kind of like a hindsight message. These are things that I have learnt the hard way. In the beginning, when my wife and I first got saved, we heard a message that said, "Go ye into the world and preach the gospel." And all we heard was, "Go ye," and a big green light. Nobody told us you should wait a little bit and learn something about actually preaching or what to do when you go out there. We were just all go. We were just full of zeal. We got stuck into everything, and that lasted for about two decades. And everything that was going, every prayer group, we were in there. Every outreach, we were in there. Street evangelism, door knocking, prison outreach, prison, we're in there. Hospital visitation, we were in there. Everything going, we were in boots and all. I remember my wife, she did pub evangelism. I wasn't invited, but she was. And not in the private bars, in the public bars. And they would go in there and set up the their band and take in their pulpit. And they would preach in the public bar. And she said, "Man, it was a fantastic environment." She said, "You know, people were, you know, having their beers, listening, clapping along, listening to the message." But she said, "When you looked around in the shadows, in the corners and everything, there were grown men, Richard, crying in the corners, broken." And after they would get their lemonade and their raspberry and they'd go and talk to all these people. And they'd find out that some of these blokes used to be Christians, but they'd walked away from the Lord. And they were there that night, calling them back into the kingdom. You know, it doesn't matter where you are, God will reach out and find you. You can run, but you can't hide. God will reach out and find you. But We were just so full of zeal. No wisdom. No wisdom. We would just do anything to get people saved. We would have dinners at our home. We invited Ron and his wife along before he knew the Lord. We figured out that Ron didn't want to be there. Couldn't wait to get out of the place. That was offensive because we were mates. We worked together. And now look at him. He's got more zeal than I ever had. And serves you right too, mate. But we had no wisdom, you see, and we fell over a lot of times. But we got back up and started again. Remember that song? I get knocked down, but I get up again. You're never going to keep me down. That was our anthem. We got knocked down lots of times. And, you know, looking back on that, I wish I had somebody, because we grew up with a lot of other young Christians who had all zeal and no wisdom as well. But we got a bunch of people saved, got a bunch of people healed. We joined together and we were able to build two great churches. You know, there's something about zeal. But I wish I'd have had somebody older who had been there and done that come along beside me every now and again and tap me on the shoulder and say, hey, listen, boy, you don't have to do it that way. You don't have to keep falling over and having to get back up again. This is the way you go, walk in it. Remember that comedian or actor, Will Rogers? One of my favorite quotes is from him. He said, there's three ways that men learn. He said, there's those that read for themselves and study. Then there are a few that watch and observe what others are doing. Then he says, but then there's a lot that just have to pee on the electric fence for themselves. And I tell you, I've peed on lots of electric fences myself. So this is a hindsight message today that could be your insight so that you don't have to go where I went. Amen? But let me encourage you from the book of Acts, Acts 17 verse 11. It was concerning the Bereans. It states that they were more noble, better positioned, because after hearing Paul's preaching, they went away, studied scripture to make sure what he said was accurate. This is Paul preaching. But they placed themselves in a better position because after hearing Paul preach, they went away and made sure that what he said was accurate. You see, regardless of who the preacher is, his or her reputation, it's good practice to make sure that what they're saying is accurate. Even me. I assure you, you need to be sure that I'm accurate. And being of that frame of mind, they probably would have discussed how the message applied to their personal lives. What changes needed to be made? What would they need to take on board and step out? 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show thyself approved, rightfully dividing the word of truth, a workman who need not be ashamed. John 8:31 in the Message translation, then Jesus turned to those with him who believed in him. He said, if you stick with this, living out what I tell you, then you are my disciples for sure, and you will experience for yourselves the truth, and the truth will make you free. Father, we thank you, Lord, today for your word. We thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, Lord, that you're watching over your word to perform it. Not my word. Put a guard over my heart, O Lord. Over my mouth, Lord. So that I'll only say, Lord, what it is, Lord, that I feel in my heart, Lord, that you showed me to say today, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that you watch over your word to perform it, Father. I thank you, Lord, that as your word goes forth today, that it shall not return unto you void, but it shall accomplish that for which you please, and it shall prosper in every area whereunto you send it, Father. We thank you, Lord, that the entrance of your word brings light, Father. We thank you, Lord, today that the eyes of our understanding be opened and enlightened, Father God. We thank you, Lord, that you give us the strength, Father, the discernment, Lord, to know, Lord, what fits us, Lord, for this time. That you would strengthen us, Lord, to be doers of your word, Father. Strengthen us to be doers of your word. Thank you, Lord, that as I minister your word, faith comes, for faith comes by hearing, and hearing by your word, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, just another point, at 2 o'clock I'll be baptizing somebody down at Kimberley Reserve. So if you'd like to come along and witness that, you're quite welcome. Last time we looked at the woman with the issue of blood. And her faith took on the appearance of a strong conviction, determination, tenacity, great courage. But when we look at the work of Christ, we can see that there was no one size that fits all. How God worked in different lives varied from person to person, situation to situation. But somewhere along the line, faith was involved. It was either the individual's faith or somebody believing on behalf of that person or Jesus' own faith. Faith is always the key. Faith is the currency of the kingdom. The just shall live by faith. It's impossible to be in agreement with God apart from faith. All things are possible to he who believes. Faith in a mighty God. I mean, that message last week was just awesome, eh? The Giglio, all the planets and everything. That was just fantastic. Seeing how huge God is. Faith in the cross and what Christ achieved. Faith in our redemption. Faith in our righteousness. He made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth from a tree, so that the blessings of Abraham might come upon us, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Now, faith comes in all shapes and sizes, different levels, worked out in different ways through different people. But faith is there's no discrimination in faith. Doesn't discriminate between male, female, young, old, black, white. Whosoever believe can receive. But one thing I've discovered in my own faith journey, that is that how important it is to identify where my faith is when facing obstacles. Number one, I try to avoid acting in presumption. Chance. Likelihood. Let me explain presumption. It's trying to force the hand of God to do our will. Trying to manipulate the hand of God by, you may have a good idea, but it's not necessarily a God idea. But you're asking God to bless your idea anyway. Jumping ahead of God, and the example of that was God promised Abraham and Sarah that they would produce a son. It took a long time coming, so Sarah jumped ahead, gave Abraham Hagar, which produced Ishmael. Israel has had lots of problems with Ishmael ever since. Now, there's three paths to faith when trusting God. Number one, a word from God, which gives us something solid to stand on or hang our head on. You see, God the Father, the Son, Jesus, the Word, they always agree. The Spirit of God who gave the Holy Scriptures cannot say one thing and then in the Bible and then another thing in your heart. That would be to bear witness against itself. How can a divided kingdom stand? Another thing you can see is that out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. You may get a prompting in your spirit. Check it alongside Scripture. And in the multitude of counsel, there's safety. Wait for confirmation. And when VD and I have got big decisions to make, we make sure that we come into agreement. If one of us has a check in our spirit, then we wait. We put it aside until both of us has a sense of peace about it. See, Psalms 23 says how he leads us into green pastures. There's no push. There's no shove. There's no compulsion. There's no confusion. It's just a gentle leading. Read James 3:17. That'll be your homework. Then as we meditate on the word, a growing in faith and assurance takes shape in our hearts. It's like you come to a place where you just know that you know that you know that you know that you know. And then appropriate action based on that witness word. And also avoid following traditional or religious theories or just following somebody else's faith besides Christ, of course. Remember the story about David when he went out to face Goliath? And King Saul came up to him and he said, "Listen, here's my armor. This is a good armor. I've fought lots of battles in this armor. If you put this armor on, it'll protect you." And David said, "But it doesn't fit. I know it's been a good armor for you, but it doesn't fit me." He said, "I have to go out with what I know works for me. It doesn't look much compared to your shiny armor. It's only a sling and a few stones. But I've killed a bear with this. I've killed a lion with this slingshot. And this clown here, he'll be no exception either. I'll take him down with this slingshot. I know how to use this." So I try to avoid presumption, imitating somebody else's faith. But what I do is I follow Paul's advice to work out and figure out my own salvation. What do I really believe? What can I believe for? Do I need more understanding? Do I need help and advice from others? What does God say about this situation? You see, Jesus himself would observe, listen, and discern where people's faith was at. He made mention of it in all types, all different levels of faith. Titus 1:4, he referred to it as one faith, as common faith. Romans 1:12, Paul referred to it as mutual faith. It's the faith found in relationships, in friendships, in fellowship, in community. When we get together to encourage each other in the faith. As iron sharpens iron, so a friend sharpens another. You see, that's why we're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, especially as we see the Lord approaching. We need each other. No person is an island unto themselves. We share our strength, we share our faith, not gossip, not criticism. I'm talking about faith. Common faith. When I was diagnosed as terminal cancer, I believed in God. I'd sort of heard about Jesus, but I didn't really understand what that was all about. But the Sunday after I'd been told that I was only had about a year to live, I knew that I needed something because the doctors had given up on me. And so I remembered all of the stories that my sister told me about Jesus. So I said to my wife, "I need to go to church. I need to go to church." And so I read the newspaper to see where all the we were over in New South Wales. We were living in a place, and I found it, for some reason, this church just jumped out at me. I didn't know much about churches. But it was about a 45-minute drive from where we were. But I said, "But that's the church we got to go to." It was in Woiwoi, New South Wales. And when we got there, it was a little old church. You know those little old churches? But we could hear all the ruckus when we pulled up. And we pulled into the church, and everybody was jumping up and down. See, they'd been praying for months for a revival, for a visitation of God, for healings, for miracles. So when you stepped into that church, you could sense the victory in the air. We could sense the anointing in the air. And people were crazy. I mean, when I was a kid, I went to the Brethren Sunday School, and they were pretty laid back and pretty staid. But these people, man, they had banners flying. They had all sorts of things shaking up and down, dancing around the room, dancing up the aisles, dancing down the aisles, jumping over seats, yahooing. If they could, I'm sure they would have crawled under the seats. They were wild men. But we walked in there and we felt like we were home. The joy of the Lord is my strength. All those songs. And we felt like we were home. Big hugs, big smiles. And then they had an altar call, and I went up and received Christ. And then I shared what was going on in my life. And they said, "No worries, Jesus can heal you." And so they gathered around me with a big bottle of oil. You know, they didn't just dab me. They poured it all over me. There was oil down my face, around my eyes, all over the place. People were slapping me on the back, binding this, loosing that. I mean, I went for healing, not deliverance. But they didn't worry about it. They were going to get me fixed, right or wrong. And they did. A miracle came out of that. I was healed. Common faith. People joining together, praying for each other. Of course, when the symptoms came back, you know, God said, "Now you're going to have to stand on your own two feet. You've had enough of the banging and slapping and the oiling. You've got to do it yourself now." And so I did. God brought me through that. Number two, little faith. Little faith is a result of insufficient information. When you don't have enough information, clarity or revelation, faith remains small. Faith comes according to what we hear. If we don't have enough information, faith stays little. See, God's word is spirit and it's life. It has the capacity and the ability to stir us up, give us a vision, energize us for success. So it's essential to listen to God's word over and over and over and over and over and over until faith comes, until it renews our minds, renews our thinking, until our thoughts and our ideas and our perspective changes. In Matthew 8:25, remember the disciples and Jesus, they were out on the lake, and a huge storm came up. Jesus was asleep. The disciples began to panic and woke him up. And Jesus said, "Why are you so afraid, O you of little faith?" Now, the disciples had witnessed many miracles. They were experienced sailors. They knew the dangers. But what they didn't know is that Jesus could also have power over nature. Because they hadn't seen that, no revelation of that, no information, it was counted against them as little faith. What does Romans 12 say? "Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind." You don't need to be ashamed if you've got little faith, but it is a shame if you stay there, because you don't have to. A number of years ago, a lady was in our church. We had a daughter, she was about 17, and I'd seen her a couple of times. She was in the youth group. But one day, her mum came up to her, she said, "Listen, my daughter's hasn't been well for over a month now. And we've taken her to two different doctors, we've had all the tests and all the blood tests and everything like that, but they can't find what's wrong with her, and she's deteriorating. She's going down fast." And she asked for the elders of the church to come in and anoint her with oil and pray over her. And at the time I was part of the eldership team. So we went there, and when I walked into the room, she was grey, she was pale, she was... And I just felt in my heart to ask her if she knew Jesus. Just because somebody goes to church doesn't mean to say they know Jesus. And she said, well, you know, and she was able to talk. She said, well, I've been to all the youth groups, and I went through, somebody said, just pray this prayer and you'll be right, you know. I said, but do you understand what Jesus did? No, I don't understand nothing. I just go along for the games. You know, I go along to be in fellowship with other young Christians. And so I sat with her for about a half an hour, and I explained to her creation, the fall of creation, and what happened to mankind through the fall, the plan of redemption, Christ's coming, what he did on the cross, what he made available to her on the cross, and when she receives Christ, she receives not only salvation, forgiveness of sins, but Isaiah 53 and 5, 1 Peter 2:24 also states that she could be healed. The whole package, the whole redemption package. And then I began, and I said, do you understand that part? And she said, yeah, I do. And I knew that because, you know, the eyes are the entrance to the soul. And I could see the light going on when I was ministering to her, giving her, feeding her all that information. I said, would you like to receive Christ now? And she did. And I said, rightio, this is what the scripture says about your situation. Your mum has asked for the elders to come in, to anoint you with oil, pray over you the prayer of faith, and you'll recover. I said, do you think you can believe that? She said, yeah, I think I can. So we prayed for her. And I caught up with her mum about a week later, and I said, how's your daughter? She says, oh, she's great. She said, that day when you came, that was the best sleep she ever had. Slept right through the night. She hadn't been eating much, but the next morning she asked for breakfast. The next day she wanted lunch and dinner. She said, she's up and about now. See, we still haven't figured out what happened, but doesn't matter, she's healed. Amen? Little faith. All it needs, be you transformed by the renewing of your mind. Weak faith. When we look at that, we can see that weak faith is a result of a lack of exercise faith. You may have heard God's word but not acted on it. So your faith will remain weak even if you know the word but not exercising it or acting on the word. You may be able to speak it, memorize it, quote it, but if you're not doing the word, it's going to remain weak. James 1:2, be ye doers of the word, not just hearers only. Otherwise you're deceiving yourself. It's a deception. Lots of people who think that they are full of the knowledge of God, that's why theologians get into trouble. Because I know all this theology, I must be a mighty man of faith. No, you're only mighty in faith when you begin to exercise it and walk it out. It's no use just talking the talk. You have to walk the walk in order for it to grow. It's like going to a gym. You may have the paid up membership card for a year. You got all the right clothes, the right shoes, flash gym, all the ModCon gear, but it only benefits us when we get on the machines and begin to pump iron. And when you start, it begins to produce. Mark 11 says 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. I've prayed for some people. I think I'm maybe about 20%. Some people have got healed, but a lot of people haven't. But that's not stopping me from keeping on believing and acting and trying. I'm going to keep going. My goal is 100%. I'm a new creation in Christ. If he could have 100% ministry, so can I. So can you. Growing faith. A faith that is a progression from weak to little to strong to great faith. God loves it. 2 Thessalonians 1:3, we ought to always give thanks to God for your brothers, sisters, as right, because your faith is growing exceedingly or abundantly. We should always strive, all of us should strive to be there. Unfortunately, about 5 years ago, my wife also got cancer. And when we thought about it, we sort of dated it back to when we first bought our new house and we had all this asbestos in the house. And it wasn't known that it was dangerous back then. But we bought these sheets of asbestos. My wife's an artist. She can carve things and paint things. And she wanted to use it, and she carved all the stuff out. And so we were all, you know, all of this stuff was all over the place. So we thought that it was probably that. But when we got the thing, we believed for a miracle. But we believed for a miracle by the time we had to go and see the specialist again. But it didn't come. And so we re-evaluated our situation. So I said to her, okay, we've believed for this, but it hasn't happened. What can we believe for now? What do you think you can believe for? She says, you know what? I really believe that the surgery that they're offering will get me through. And she said, but I don't want to have radiotherapy or chemotherapy afterwards. I'm believing that they'll get everything in the operation and then it'll be all done. So we began to call in the surgeons, the helpers and everybody else into the kingdom, you know. We began to say that these people, they had the mind of Christ. And my prayer was that the surgeon, the main surgeon, be filled with the knowledge of God's will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that he would have discernment for every situation. And we really rammed home on that. And after the surgery, took my wife home for some, you know, then about a month later, we had to go back to see the surgeon again. In the meantime, we had more blood tests and things like that. And when we got there, he said, I got good news and I got good news. And he said, we went in and we did the surgery. And he said, but while I was doing the surgery, I felt a prompting to dig a wee bit deeper. I don't know why. He said, it's usually just an automatic way of going in to deal with these things. But I said, and so I began to cut away another layer. And I'm so glad I did, because there was something underneath there that I would have missed if I'd have just done the normal procedure. It was like he was saying he had discerned something. And he said, the other good news is that we got it all, and I don't think you'll need radiotherapy or chemotherapy. And then we went for more blood tests, and that was right. She didn't need that at all. You know what I'm saying? You've got to evaluate where your faith's at. Don't try and imitate somebody else's faith. Active faith, being doers of the word. Now, strong faith is Romans chapter 4. We'll read that. Chapter 4, beginning at verse 18. Against all hope, Abraham in hope believed, and so became the father of many nations, just as it had been said to him, so shall your offspring be. Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and Sarah's womb was also dead. Yet he did not faint or waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had power to do what he promised. This is why it was credited to him as righteousness. Abraham had a faith that refused to surrender, be defeated. This type of faith will not be turned away regardless of the situation or outlook. It digs in, it holds fast until it receives what has been asked of God. It just refuses to disbelieve, even in the face of unbelief. Ruthless at times, because it fights the good fight of faith, charges in with the sword of the Spirit, refuses to back down and back away. That's strong faith. Great faith. Now, you may have a different interpretation than me regarding this, but the Bible stories that I have read when this faith is mentioned have brought me to this conclusion. Great faith has the same makeup as strong faith, same tenacity, same never give up attitude, same grit and determination as strong faith, but great faith goes beyond using that faith for self. It uses it instead to believe on behalf of others. See, this faith stands in the gap on behalf of others. And the example of that was in Matthew 15:28, the woman believing for her daughter. Jesus said she had great faith. The centurion believing for his servant. Jesus said he had great faith. Jumps into the fray. Watches other people's backs. Great people to have around. Great people to have around. I would rather have one person like this than a thousand just observers. Give me one person who will stand beside me. Give me one person who will watch my back. You only need two to be in agreement. We need the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Only when the battle is fierce is the warrior spirit appreciated. Mark 10:43, if you want to be great or do great things in the kingdom, learn to use what you have to serve others. Great faith serves others. You know, and I'm amazed that I come into the prayer room and all those ones that are faithful in there, and they don't even realize that they're using great faith because they're standing in the gap on behalf of others. There's greatness in them. And, you know, spiritual warriors, they don't always look how we think they should look. You know, when Jesus came, he didn't look how people thought he should look. He didn't act the way they thought he should act. You know, there's spiritual warriors that are in that back room. They look like Beth. They look like Dawn and Kevin. They look like Judith. They look like Margaret. They're not the way we think they should look, but there's a mighty spiritual warriors in those people anyway. So it's important to understand the different levels and make of faith, not only for ourselves, but when we're helping others as well. Kenneth Hagin, one of my faith heroes, he's gone to be with the Lord now, who himself developed faith as a teen overcoming life-threatening illness. Well, he was diagnosed, he was on his way out as well. But in his ministry, which had a signs and wonders ministry, miracles, healings followed him all over the place. But he said this, he said, I would never try to get people to believe at his level when ministering to them. He would preach the gospel. Then he would try and locate where people were in their own faith. Then he would stand in agreement. He said, the issue was not how much faith the other person had, but what could they agree on? Amos 3:3, can two walk together unless they are agreed? Matthew 18:19, if two of you shall agree, Acts 2:1, they were all in one accord on the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit fell. What was the key? They were in one accord. They were in one accord. I'll give you a testimony of great faith. I'll just go back to that just for a second. I've got a really good friend, Gary. And Gary knew the Lord, came to Christ, but for some reason he got discouraged over something which turned into depression. And it was a real dark depression. And he was bordering on suicide all the time. He told me later, he said, he was driving down Capity Road and he saw a power pole in the distance. And he said, no, I'm out of here. And so he sped up and he was heading right for that pole. He said, my intention was to drive as fast as I could straight into that pole and kill myself. And he said, just before he got there, something snapped in him, and he veered off just at the right time. But he was, you know, he went from a bright spark right down. You could see him. He was bent over and everything. And I went home, and I said, Lord, how can I help my friend? He said, I want you to pray over him every day, but speak the word over him. Faith comes by hearing. He needs to be washed by the washing of the word. And so I rang him and I said, Gary, I said, I feel the Lord wants me to visit or call you. I think I'd call you every morning. What time do you usually get up for work? He says, oh, 6 o'clock. He says, been a struggle lately, to be honest. I said, how about I call you 5:30 every morning? Because I feel the Lord wants me to speak, to pray over you, speak the word over you, and we'll see what happens. And I said, put the phone by your bed. You don't have to do nothing. Don't have to say nothing. Don't have to pray with me. Just pick the phone up and listen. And so every morning, week after week after week after week, I'd phone him at 5:30 every morning. And then I began to, thank you, Lord. Greater are you within Gary than he that is in the world. Thank you, Lord, that you've not given Gary a spirit of fear, but one of power, love, and of a sound mind. Thank you, Lord, that Gary can do all things through Christ who strengthens him. Thank you, Lord, that no weapon formed against Gary shall prosper. Every tongue that has risen up in judgment shall be found to be in the wrong. For his righteousness is of you. Thank you, Lord, that you set angels in charge over Gary. They keep him in all of his ways. Thank you, Lord, that Gary has the mind of Christ. And over and over, sometimes it was 10 minutes, sometimes it was 20, sometimes it was half an hour, depending on the prompting of the Holy Spirit. And then after about 5 weeks, the last morning I rang up, and something had changed. And he sounded different. And he said, bro, yesterday morning when you were speaking that over me, he said, something snapped. He said, I had a great sleep last night and I woke up and the dog is gone. The black dog's gone. That cloud has lifted. That's great faith. Great faith is standing in the gap for somebody else. With strong faith, tenacity, never give up attitude. Amen. I'm going to finish there. I had other things to say, but I'm going to finish there. I just feel prompted to finish there. What's the time? Has anybody got the time, please? No, no. No. Right? 10-2. Okay, we got 10 minutes. Bro, are you able to pray, Holy Spirit, you're welcome in this place? Please? Is that all right? I don't want you to do anything right now. We're just going to sing this song. Then I'm going to pray a prayer over you that you be filled with the knowledge of God's will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, just like I did for my wife. Because you need to locate where your faith's at. Don't try and go out on presumption. Don't try and imitate somebody else's faith. Doesn't matter what level of faith you're at, God will meet you. Jesus said, be it unto you according to your faith. You may have little faith. Well, God will add to it. You may have weak faith. God will add to it. You may need to act on your faith. God will tell you that. See, we have the ability in us, in all of us, to be able to step out in faith. You don't need to look to me. You don't need to look to the pastor. And there's no disrespect for the pastor or other ministers. But each of us has been given a measure of faith, the measure of faith. But it's up to us to learn to grow their faith. And it's so important for the days ahead. So important for the days ahead that we learn to grow and develop our own faith. If not for us, then for us, somebody else. Amen.
Come in this place.
Behind this song, Dottie Rambo wrote this song. Dottie Rambo was a prolific gospel singer songwriter, and she was asked to minister in East Berlin, and she went there, and then she went to a little cafe and sat down there beside the Berlin Wall, and she said, and because of a communist attitude towards Christianity, she had a sense, there was no sense of the Holy Spirit in there whatsoever. And she began to weep over that place. And she said, she began to pray. And as she began to pray, that song came out. Holy Spirit, you're welcome in this place. And she began to share that song all over the place. And the whole world picked up on that prayer song. Holy Spirit, you're welcome in this place. And it was about a year later that the wall, that wall came tumbling down. Amen. And now the Holy Spirit is in that place. Isn't that awesome? You just keep pressing in, pressing in, pressing in. Now you can come up for prayer afterwards for whatever you need. That's fine. But I just want to pray. I want to pray this prayer over you. Father God, we look to you today, not the preacher, not the teacher. We're looking unto Jesus, the author, the starter, and the finisher of our faith. We're looking to you, Lord, for answers for our current situations. We're looking to you, Jesus. We open up ourselves, Lord, to receive from you wisdom, counsel, discernment, Lord. A way through, Father God, the situation that is currently before us, Father God. I ask for wisdom, Father God, on behalf of all my brothers and sisters here in this place, Lord. I thank you, Lord, you said that when we ask, Lord, that you give it to us liberally, Lord. Liberally, Father. So I pray, Lord, for that you would drop, Lord, into their hearts, into their minds, Father God. Discernment, Lord. Fresh direction, Father God. Fresh direction, Father God. Strengthen their resolve. Strengthen their hearts. Strengthen them, O Lord, in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.